Read this morning a couple of different passages of God's Word. The first is from the prophecy of Isaiah, the 28th chapter. Isaiah chapter 28. Isaiah 28, we will read just verses 9 through 13. And this has to do really with one of the reasons we go through the catechism again and again. Let's read those verses, 9 through 13. Whom shall he teach knowledge, and whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line. Here a little, and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. To whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Just that from Isaiah 28, and then let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we will read the first 14 verses. If you remember, last week we read the second half of chapter 1. This week we will read the first half having to do with comfort. The first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Achaia. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. For we write none other things unto you than what we read or acknowledge, and I trust ye shall acknowledge even to the end. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. It's on the basis of especially that passage and many others in God's Word that we have the teaching of the Catechism in Lord's Day 1. The Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 1. We hardly need to even follow along in the Psalter because we know these words so very well, but let's hear them right now. Question one, what is thy only comfort in life and death, that I with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ, who with His precious blood hath fully satisfied for all my sins and delivered me from the power of the devil, and so preserves me that without the will of my heavenly Father, not a hair can fall from my head, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. And therefore by His Holy Spirit He also assures me of eternal life and makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. Second question, how many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? Three, the first, how great my sins and miseries are. The second, how I may be delivered from all my sins and miseries. The third, how I shall express my gratitude to God for such deliverance. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we begin again this morning another round of preaching through one of the confessions that we hold to as a church, the Heidelberg Catechism. And as we make another beginning of doing that this morning, we do well to remind ourselves of one of the reasons we do this. Because the reality is that for many of us sitting here this morning, we have heard the Heidelberg Catechism preached many, many times. Think about that. If you're 60 years old or so, and if it takes approximately 2 years, when you take everything into account, to get through the Heidelberg Catechism, and if you've been sitting in church and listening since you were 4 or 3 years old, that means that for some of us sitting here this morning, we have heard the Heidelberg Catechism preached through at least 25 times. For some, probably even more. And now here we are this morning, beginning the Catechism again for the 26th, or the 27th, or for the 28th time in our lifetime. And you may ask, why? Part of the reason we do this is in light of what we read in Isaiah chapter 28. There is a reason that we go over and over again the main truths of God's Word. Isaiah 28 sets forth one of the main ways that we teach our children. One of the main ways we teach them so that from their earliest of years to the end of their lives, they have a good understanding and they never forget the truths of God's Word. Line upon line, line upon line, precept upon precept, precept upon precept. A good method of instruction is the method of repetition. And we are all children when it comes to this. Because of the depth of the Scriptures, because of the profound nature of who God is, we're all children. We're all always learning more and more about who our God is and about who He or what He has done for us in the truth. And so we do well to hear those truths over and over again. Not in the exact same way, obviously. We come with a fresh, a good new perspective. Not new in the sense of completely new, you understand what I mean by that. A fresh take on the teachings of the Catechism. But at the same time, we hear the main doctrines over and over again, so that they stay with us from the moment we are children to the very end of our lives. I don't make that point to try to lift up possibly our frustrated attitudes that say, ah, here we go again. another time through the Heidelberg Catechism. That's not why I make that point. I make that point to show that this is a good way to receive instruction. Because the simple fact is that we don't look up against going through the Catechism. We love the Heidelberg Catechism. We love it dearly. We love this Lord's Day. Lord's Day 1 is so precious to us. How many of us sitting here this morning have not at times in our life simply gone back to Lord's Day 1 and received the comfort of this Lord's Day? We love the Heidelberg Catechism. And so this morning, we make a beginning by preaching on Lord's Day 1. What is thy only comfort in life and in death, that I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's see that comfort this morning. My only comfort. We notice three things. In the first place, understanding it. In the second place, enjoying it. And last, confessing it. My only comfort, understanding, enjoying, and confessing it. At the outset, I want to make the point that the teaching of the Heidelberg Catechism is firmly grounded upon the teaching of the Word of God. It is not the case that in any way, shape, or form, by preaching the Heidelberg Catechism, we are elevating the Heidelberg Catechism above the Holy Scriptures. Our sole authority in life and in doctrine is the Bible. And the Heidelberg Catechism is simply a faithful explanation of the truths of God's Word, so that when we preach the Catechism, we are preaching the Word of God. And that's why, as we go through the Catechism, it may never be the case that I do not show, or at least am able to show, that what I say, which is what the Catechism says, is exactly what the truth of the Word of God sets forth. And the fact that the Catechism is grounded upon God's Word is evident from every Lord's Day. We can be thankful for the many texts in the margins that show that. But this is evident simply also from the theme of the Catechism, the theme that is set forth in Lord's Day 1. The theme of the Heidelberg Catechism is comfort. That's the whole purpose of Lord's Day 1, this introductory Lord's Day. Comfort. And specifically, the comfort of belonging to Jesus Christ. That theme of comfort is, in a very real way, the theme of the entire Word of God. Let's see that. Go to the very beginning. Immediately after the fall and disobedience of Adam and Eve, there they were in that garden. No hope apart from this comfort. They were in a position worthy of death, and they knew it. In and of themselves, they had nothing. But then God came to them, and God lifted them up. Yes, it's true that He set forth certain chastisements upon Adam and Eve and the curse of the ground, but nevertheless, God came with a beautiful word to Adam and Eve. The word that gave them hope, the hope of victory, that the seed of the woman would destroy and crush the seed of the serpent. Right at the beginning, it was a word of comfort that our God gave to Adam and Eve, and therefore to all of His people throughout the ages. Go to the book of Isaiah. Marvelous prophecy that sets forth in a beautiful way the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the climax, the apex, the culmination of that book? It's the 40th chapter. The well-known first two verses, "Comfort ye, comfort ye my people, saith the Lord. Speak comfortably unto them." Go to the chapter that we read this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. The very name of God in this chapter is related to comfort. What does verse 3 say? And the God of all comfort. Our God is a God of comfort. Not to belabor the point, but to strengthen the point, go to the life of our Lord Jesus Christ immediately after, or before rather, His crucifixion. There He was talking to the disciples. They were in a position of wondering what's going to happen. They needed a certain comfort that night. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to His disciples, I will not leave you comfortless. Yes, I am departing. I must die. I must arise from the dead and I must ascend into heaven, but I will not leave you comfortless because I will send someone to you. My Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the great Paraclete, the Comforter. The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. And so we have the God of comfort who determined to give us comfort by giving us the Lord Jesus Christ. And we enjoy and we experience that comfort by the work of the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. Beloved, the theme of the Catechism, comfort, is the theme of the Word of God. So why did Caspar Olivianus and Zacharias Ursinus, the writers of the Catechism, start the Catechism this way, with that theme of comfort? Well, they did that because they understood that that's the teaching of the Word of God. But they did that also because they lived among God's people. They saw the people of God and the experiences of their lives. They saw the need that we have for comfort. They didn't write this catechism separated from the everyday experiences of the people of God. They knew that this is our need. Beloved, think about it this way, an illustration for the idea of comfort. Picture a man on the side of a road, sitting on a curb, and there he is, sitting there with his head between his knees, tears flowing down his cheeks, angry, frustrated, nowhere to go, nothing to do, absolutely no hope for him in his life. But then someone comes, walks down the road, sees that man, and he bends down and he whispers in his ear. He says something to him. He says, I have something for you. There's hope for you. The man hears those words and he lifts his head up. He stands up, smile on his face. There's hope, there's joy for this life because of what this man said. Beloved, that's you and me. Apart from this comfort, that's us. We have nothing. Head between our knees, absolutely nothing. We need the Word of comfort. We need that especially because of sin, and the fact that our sin deserves death. We know that. Think about Lord's Day 1. Our need for comfort is all of the opposites of what Lord's Day 1 sets forth. Instead of being delivered from our sin, we would be destroyed because of our sin. Instead of being delivered from the power of the devil would have complete reign over us and control us. Instead of everything working out for our salvation, just the opposite, everything would be subservient and leading to our damnation. That's our need for comfort, the fact that we are sinners and that we deserve death. But it's so much more than that. It's so much more than that, our need. Because not only are we sinners, but we recognize the fact that we live in a sin-cursed world, a fallen world. so that your experience and my experience at times in our lives is one of difficulty and struggle and tribulation and burdens. And you go through those experiences. And what do you need at those times? You need a word that can be whispered in your ear. A word that will lift you up. Bring you to lift your head up and say, yes, there's something to get me through the struggles of this life. Ursinus and Olivianus understood that. We understand that. And that's why we go to Lord's Day 1 this morning. And we hear this question and answer. What is thy only comfort in life and death? Just listen to it. That I, with body and soul, both in life and death, am not my own, but belong unto my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. What is thy only comfort? That I belong to Jesus. Our comfort, beloved, this morning is the Lord Jesus Christ. In the face of sin, in the face of death, in the face of all of the struggles in our lives, our comfort is Jesus. And understand why that is. Jesus is the only one that can deal with the main reason we have a need for comfort, which is sin. That's the point of Lord's Day 1. Jesus satisfies for all my sins. Delivers me from the power of the devil, assures me that He gives me life. And all of the other situations in our lives that cause us to need comfort, our answer is Jesus. He went through everything so that He is able to help us in our times of need. Beloved, our comfort is the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what 2 Corinthians chapter 1 says, all about comfort, the God of all comfort. And then it gets to the reason for that, and that's 9 and 10. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, the God of comfort which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver us, a deliverance in the Lord Jesus Christ. But it's more than that, our comfort. It's not simply the case that we face distressing circumstances in our life and we face sin, and now the comfort of the gospel is that in light of that bad news, there is greater and better news that outweighs this bad news, as it were. That's not true comfort. Just simply good news outweighing bad news. The comfort of the gospel is more. And that's why I'd like to go to that phrase in the catechism that says, yea, that all things must be subservient to my salvation. That's true comfort. When we can look at everything in our life, every struggle in our life, every joy in our life, the birth of a child, the death of a loved one, periods of health and vibrance and periods of sickness and despair, joy in the family, disruptions in the family, true comfort is to know that every one of those situations is, as the Catechism says, subservient to my salvation. It's not simply that we have good news that outweighs the bad, but true comfort looks at the bad and says, that's for your good and for your salvation. And why is that the case? Because our Lord is exactly that. He is the Lord. In His power and control, He uses everything. And it's subservient. It's a servant in His hand to serve the purpose of bringing us to salvation. When you know that, you can face every situation in this life and do as the Apostle Paul did in Philippians 4 and say, yes, I will rejoice in the Lord always because I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. And this is our only comfort. That's such an important word in question one. What is not simply thy comfort in life and death, but what is thy only comfort in life and death? The writers of the Catechism understood well our natures. And our sinful natures are always ones that look for other things to find comfort in. And that's why the Catechism says, what is thy only? There's only one thing that truly will give us comfort in this life. We try other things. When it comes to doctrine, we may look at our sin and say, how am I going to get past my sin? What am I going to do to uplift myself when it comes to sin? And that has led many throughout the church's history to formulate and fabricate systems of doctrine that look to ourselves and to what we can do for our salvation and for our sin, seeking comfort in ourselves and our own good works in the face of our sin and guilt. That's not comfort, true comfort. That's not the only comfort. When we go through the difficulties of this life, we are always tempted to find comfort in many other things. You look to the bottle to find comfort. You look to the image or the video on the computer screen to find comfort. You look to food to find comfort. You look to family. You look to a job. You can look to anything else except what is our only comfort, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. That doesn't mean that we can't help one another. That's not what we mean when we say this is the only comfort in life and in death. And in fact, that's one of the neat parts about 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Makes that very point. God comforts us so that we can, in turn, comfort one another. And when we do that, we're not bringing something else to comfort them. We're bringing the exact thing that we are comforted by, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we do help one another in our struggles, but we help them with what is the only comfort in life and death, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the theme of the Catechism. Our only comfort in life and death is that we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. And beloved, we can and we must enjoy and experience that comfort. The beauty of the Heidelberg Catechism is that it looks at all of the truths of God's Word from an experiential point of view. It looks at the truths of God's Word, sets them forth in light of what we experience every single day in our lives. And the point that we make now is that this is something that we experience belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. What does that mean? It means that you and I must have a personal relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's language sometimes that we can be uncomfortable with because it can be taken in the wrong way. But that's exactly right. If we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, that means that we must have a relationship, a personal, living relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as a husband and a wife belong to one another and have a real personal relationship with one another. You experience that relationship You experience that relationship by, in the face of your sin and guilt, you cast that upon the Lord and you know yourself to be forgiven by His blood. You experience that relationship when, in the face of the struggles of this life, you look to the Lord because He went through it too and is able to help us in our times of need. You experience this relationship by knowing that in face of anything, we can, as we said earlier, and what the Apostle Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, confident that it's for our good. We experience our relationship with Jesus. But now we need a proper balance when we say that, because there's always two ditches on either side of the road when it comes to this matter. The one ditch on the one side of the road is that all we talk about is enjoying that relationship and experiencing the Lord Jesus Christ and belonging to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's everything. That's one ditch. The other ditch on the other side of the road is that all we do is emphasize knowledge to the neglect of any talk about experiencing and enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ. This side of the road is always called dead orthodoxy, just an intellectual assent to the truths of God's Word, but it doesn't mean anything for our everyday lives. We must have a proper balance here, and that's why we can be all the more thankful for the Heidelberg Catechism, which has that proper balance. It does so in a marvelous way. Throughout the entire catechism, it looks at the truths from the viewpoint of our experiences. We'll see that as we go through the catechism. But look at question 2. Puts these two things side by side. How many things are necessary for thee to know that thou, enjoying this comfort, mayest live and die happily? There's those two things. The experience. How many things must you know to enjoy and then to live and die happily? But then there's the knowledge. How many things must you know? Both must be present. And the Catechism hits the nail on the head and sets it forth in a beautiful way. Because the way it works is this: we experience our relationship to the Lord in the way of knowing, in the way of having certain knowledge. The knowledge is absolutely necessary to experience and enjoy the Lord Jesus Christ. So what must we know to enjoy the comfort of belonging to Jesus? Well, it's the three things set forth in question 2. We must know in the first place how great our sins and miseries are. We must know in the second place how I am delivered from those sins and miseries. And we must know in the third place how I show gratitude for that deliverance. The triple knowledge that gives us the comfort of belonging to Jesus. And now the point this morning is not to go into detail about all of those. That's the whole purpose of the Catechism, to set forth those truths. Those three things correspond to the three sections of the Catechism. But the point worth making this morning is that in Lord's Day 1, question and answer 1, we have those three things. It's an introductory Lord's Day. In summary form, we have the entire Heidelberg Catechism. And that point is worth making this morning because we know Lord's Day 1 so well. We teach it to our children in Heidelberg Catechism. We impress it upon them so that all of us know very well the words of Lord's Day 1. Well, if you have Lord's Day 1 committed to memory, you have everything, in a certain sense, that's in the Heidelberg Catechism. How great our sins and miseries are. That's in Lord's Day 1. Jesus is our Savior. Our Savior from what? The greatness of our sin. Number 2, how I may be delivered from those sins and miseries. What does question and answer one say? Jesus fully satisfies for all my sins, delivers me from the power of the devil, preserves me, and assures me. That's the work of deliverance. And number three, how I may show gratitude to God. Well, that's the end. He makes me sincerely willing and ready henceforth to live unto Him. That's the life of gratitude that we show to God. The point is this, you have Lord's Day 1. You have the three things that we must know to enjoy and to experience. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the comfort of belonging to Jesus. We understand the theme of the catechism, comfort. We see that it comes to us from the perspective of our experiences so that we enjoy that relationship to Jesus Christ. And now last we see the importance that we have in our lives to confess this truth. This document that we have in front of us, the Heidelberg Catechism, is referred to by several different words. It is in the first place a symbol that's a word that emphasizes the fact that the teachings of this document are what join us together. It's a banner, as it were, a flag. We fly the flag, as it were, of the Heidelberg Catechism. This is what we believe as a Church of Jesus Christ. It's a symbol. It's also a creed. A creed. And that word emphasizes the fact that this is what we believe. Creed is from the Latin credo, which means I believe. These are truths that we believe. But this is also a confession. The Heidelberg Catechism is a confession. And that word literally means to say the same thing as. It emphasizes unity, the same thing as, but it also emphasizes speaking, to say. And that's right in the word confession. Confess these truths. We must confess the truths of the entire catechism, but we must confess the truth of Lord's Day 1. And that's why we can be all the more thankful for the catechism, because of the approach that it takes. It takes a personal approach. So that I can stand here tonight and read this question. And it's not simply, what is the believer's only comfort in life and in death? But I can say, what is thy? What is your only comfort in life and in death? So that we sitting here this morning must say in our hearts that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. We make this our personal confession, not only this morning in our hearts, but beloved, we make this our personal confession outside of these walls in the world, so that we say to others, I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I am in no way ashamed to say that Jesus Christ is my Savior and I belong to Him. What is more, we say this, especially by the testimony of our lives, so that the way we live confesses that I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And make this confession, and make it all of your life long. A marvelous part of Lord's Day 1, three times it says life and death. From the moment we are born to the day we die, this is your confession and this is my confession. Three times. Question one, in life and death. The answer, that I with body and soul in life and death. Question two, that thou enjoying this comfort may live and die happily. Because that's the beauty of this comfort. Once you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never not belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's So I can say tonight, or this morning rather, to the youngest child here, what is thy only comfort in life and death? And he or she can say that I belong to Jesus Christ. And to that same child, 70, 80, 90 years from now, when they're on their deathbed, I can say, what is thy only comfort in life and in death? That I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. The comfort of the gospel is that our Lord is our Savior now and into eternity because of what He does for us in delivering us from all of our sin and giving us a right to life with God. Be comforted this morning in the face of your sin. Hear the word of comfort in the face of the difficulties of your life. And know and experience and enjoy the only comfort in life and in death that we belong to our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Father and God in heaven, we thank Thee for the catechism, but we thank Thee especially for the Lord Jesus Christ and the comfort that we have in belonging to Him. Because He satisfies for all of our sin. He gives us hope in the face of despair, the hope of life with Thee. And gives us also the comfort through the struggles of this life of knowing that He can help us in our times of need. Comfort us this morning. Comfort us in these coming year and a half, 2 years as we go through the catechism again. May we always experience the comfort of the gospel. For Jesus' sake, amen.